This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to WHM Mailbag, loyal WHM listeners, and thank you for tuning in to what will be the final mailbag of WHM Season 8.
Right.
Oh my God, can you believe that shit?
There will be no mailbag in August.
No.
There will be episodes and things to look forward to.
Yeah, we're going to announce it here because this is probably...
Let's talk about it, Steve. Fuck it.
This is probably coming out late in the July month, which means in August we're going to do 4 live episodes. Release 4 live episodes. People have been screaming for the Emoji Movie. I don't know. Like, every day I wake up to 5 tweets about, like, when will I listen to the Emoji Movie?
Well, maybe you should have bought a ticket for it then.
I mean, try that.
Why don't you fly to New York City?
Mm-hmm.
If you really want an Emoji Movie.
And
anyway,
more importantly, there
is
fucking amazing content coming out on our Patreon. Fucking amazing.
Right.
Yes.
Because why don't we just say what episode...
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
That's Friday the 13th, part 8, colon.
Yes.
Jason Takes Manhattan.
Jason Takes Manhattan is one of the most requested movies we've had over the years.
So requested. We did this as a commentary a few years back at the Burns. We did a live commentary for my Halloween marathon.
Sure.
Here's the thing. We never record those commentaries because it makes zero sense to do so.
Mm-hmm. So
those are
in
the moment watching the movie things.
It's new to me.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm enjoying
that will
it.
Be an in-studio episode on Patreon in the month of August. The
That's
rest
right.
of August will be live episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And the tie-in there is Jason X, which we recorded in Chicago
just last weekend. And also, just as an FYI, if you sign up for our $5 tier, you'll also get America's Sweethearts, Man of Steel, Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance, Bright, and Jungle to Jungle. And I'm sure I'm forgetting at least one.
Transcendence.
Yes. An amazing...
There's too many episodes to name.
If you are like, oh man, I wish, you know, this We Hate Movies summer lull. There's no summer lull. Sign up for Patreon. Get on that shit.
Exactly.
And also we're doing
the live episodes are good too.
Yes, and we're doing an Animation Damnation, and we're doing a Nexus, so it's going to be great. And also, the Twilight Mentary will be coming out in July, which is a drunk power hour commentary about the movie Eclipse, or is it
Twilight Saga colon Eclipse?
Right,
and
that's
it's
right.
scandalous because we get shit faced.
I'm sorry, Steve. For you, it would be Twilight 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
I was kind of
disappointed. Have you ever passed that legislation?
I was going to say, I was disappointed. You said Jason Takes Manhattan, didn't know the number.
Oh.
Everything
has failed me.
Right.
I
mean, wait, does 5 really count? And, you know what I mean?
It's got to count.
I guess.
It's got to count, man.
It's, you know, it's, right.
It's Roy,
not Jason.
It's Roy 1.
Exactly. Yeah. It's Roy, thank you.
Friday the 13th, 5, Roy 1.
All right. All right. I'll accept that.
Roy Rises.
All right. So let's get into it. We got some letters here for the last time in Season 8. Steve Sadak, start us off.
Dear WHM, and he spells out Chris, Steve, or they spell out Chris, Steve, Eric, and Andrew. That's
right.
Oh, wow. Great. Hi. Great detail.
I wanted to send in an email telling you about a date I had and almost screwed up indefinitely. I had met this girl online, and I had asked her out for a second date. When I asked her what she wanted to do for the next one, she suggested she plan it as my birthday was coming.
That's a lot of pressure for a second date.
Holy shit.
Birthday dates.
Plan my birthday.
I don't need that.
I don't even know your middle name.
You should not start dating someone around a holiday or around your birthday. That's
or
it.
Around high school graduation. Fuck
what?
That.
Did you have a problem with that?
No, that's just, like, stupid to do. Unless you can agree up front, this is like a 2.5 month thing, and then
you don't want to be like dating someone. You don't want to like meet somebody on February 1st and be like, "Hey, you want to go to date on February 7th?" Because you know, fucking Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Oh.
Now we're in this awkward situation.
That's exactly what my wife and I wound up doing.
Well, that was wrong. That's
early Feb, right? Was the first
big
date?
Mistake, huh?
Then it was like Valentine's Day turned out. We were cool with just hanging in.
Oh, that's a good move.
I made some food. We watched a movie.
That's a good
idea. I was
going
to say, oh, scandalous. You have to buy a rose.
No, but it's there's
it's just awkward. It's a little awkward, man.
When I asked her, she told me she wanted to tap into my love of movies. And
tap in.
Yeah.
And then she wanted to show me one of her favorites. My skin's already crawling.
I can't wait. I haven't read this.
I haven't read any of these, so I'm like, I'm just nervous.
Please.
The date night began. We call it date nights. There are nights and there are date nights.
She doesn't die at this part right now, all right? Okay.
She had me come into her home, which is a weird way to say that. she invited me to her house.
Wait, she opens the door and you just come into the hallway? Yeah. Like, no, what?
It's written by a vampire.
She had to be coming to her. This makes a lot more sense. Yeah. She had to.
I needed to be asked permission to cross the threshold.
She had me coming to her home. She had bought me one of my favorite treats, amaretto ice cream. All right, and had me sit down in the living room to watch Nerve from 2016, which I've never seen.
Neither have I.
Oh, I know exactly what this movie is. This looked like Stupid City.
It looked stupid. I haven't
favorite.
Watched it.
Oh, no. Okay, she does a favorite treat, but not favorite movie. Okay, thank God.
I was living next to the cinema for the last few years, and I never heard of this movie.
It stars Emma Roberts.
And the Dave of Frank. It stars Emma Roberts and Dave Franco, two of my least favorite actors. I figured it was a bad movie and that she wanted me to watch it with me to make fun of it based on prior discussions we had. We watched the movie, and going in vogue with what I felt, I tore in the film a new one. I was merciless and poked fun at every bad shot, line, and choices Pullman made. In the last 20 minutes, however, she stopped laughing with me. I was confused and alarmed. At the end of the film, she told me that she really happens to really like that movie, and she thought it was genuinely good. I felt horrible for what I had done.
So this guy's making fun of it during the movie?
Yeah.
She's like, hey, let's watch this movie together.
Right.
And he's making fun of it the entire time, but it was actually a movie she likes.
Yeah, that's a boner move, man.
You gotta feel the room here.
Yeah. What? Feel the room. Yeah, well, read it first.
Well, you've already
Steve.
Come into her home.
Oh,
so
I guess that's true.
The
comes
room.
On the floor, feel whatever you want.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't have garlic near it.
Thinking quickly, I remembered the mantra of the WHM boys, and that Eric always says it's okay to like a movie. So the next 30 minutes were spent explaining what that means, and that it's okay to have different opinions.
30 minutes?
I just explained what that meant for 30 minutes.
He's got like the Seinfeld diorama going, and he's got the peanut M&M.
I think I should be the peanut.
I also profusely apologized for making fun of a film she loved. The date ended, and now I am engaged to wed her.
Wow.
Look at this.
Now
all because
she
of you, Eric.
A bride of Dracula.
what a line that came out of my mouth has now produced a union. This gives me types of powers, guys.
Okay.
Does it?
Yeah. Like metaphysical, supernatural.
Yeah, yeah.
Like whatever this kid ends up being.
Uh-huh. What kid?
If they have a child. Listener, thank you for saying that curse. Because if you have a child, that child's soul will be my servant in hell.
Oh, I see.
In the eyes of the goat god.
Do me a favor, gentle listener writing in, don't have children.
Have 12.
Well, he's a vampire and that can't 12. Work out. Thanks a bunch, WHM. Do you guys have a time where you screwed up a date and managed to bail it out? With warmest appreciation, Parker and Amber from Crazy Mormon Land, Utah.
Ah. Have we ever screwed up a date?
I'm sure that I have.
I know, like all of them.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever bailed it out successfully.
I'm not a good date.
I did a thing one time with my high school girlfriend where I was like, I still am a fucking horrendous nerd. And all we ever did was go to the movies because I could get in for free and you're a fucking poor teenager. So I was like, let's do it. And it was like, oh, we're going to go see K-Pax.
Okay.
And I was like, we are seeing K-Pax.
The Widowmaker.
Yes, the exact same.
Wait, no, that's K-19.
It's K-19.
And so we went to see this movie, and we're like waiting online, and she was like, you don't really want to see K-Pax, do you? I just found out a friend of mine, this was like, you know, the early 2000s. She's like, boop bop, I have a text message on my cellular telephone.
Oh, nice.
My friend's like having a party or something. Like, let's go to that. Fuck K-Pax. And I was like, no, we're seeing K-Pax. I was like, well, we made plans to see K-Pax. And I'm trying to get better at this, but I'm really horrible still to this day with like where plans change.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mentally, like I just have a weird roadblock.
I kind of need to know what's going on 3 days in advance.
So I refused. And she went to this party and I saw K-Pax by myself.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was fucking terribly shitty.
I will tell you a time that at least you, Andrew, and more than likely you, Chris, ruined a date.
I remember this exactly. I think I know exactly what he's about to say.
It was a second date. The first date went well with this girl in college, blah, blah, blah. And we go on a second date. We're having fun. She kind of drags me to an a cappella show, but it was fine. And it was like, this isn't so great.
This is exactly what I thought it was.
And it's sort of, it's the early 2000s here. It's like 2004-ish sure. or something like that. And she's like, well, what do you want to do next? And I was like, oh, you know, my buddies are in the city, too. Let me see what they're up to. So I text, I think probably Andrew, and he's like, oh, we're at our buddy's house. Why don't you come on by? We're going to go to a party. And I'm like, parties? Unlike Andrew, I'm not going to go see K-Pax by myself. Parties are great social lubricant. We'll go. You know what I mean? It takes the edge off. There's a lot of people she could talk to. And I think there was mutual friends involved as well. So it's like, this is perfect. We go, and we go up to my friend's apartment, and these guys are fucking drunk.
Well,
they're Check. Fucking drunk.
So, okay, come on.
They're fucking drunk. They're telling a story about being drunk in a sushi restaurant and getting thrown out of a sushi restaurant. And third of all, they're watching Jackass and being like, hey, man, like Jackass the TV show.
Oh, sure.
And she's like, oh, I love Jackass. And then and she's like, tell them again about how you got kicked out of the sushi restaurant. Tell them again. And it's just like, I think I'm going to leave now. And pretty quickly left that little party.
By the way, I think this was the same night we got thrown out of that restaurant.
Yeah, uh-huh.
One for being pretty loud, but also because on a dare. Because
you liked K-Pax.
It was like a $5 bet.
Sure.
I drank a thing of like soy sauce and like wasabi, but it was like more That's wasabi awesome. Than soy sauce, and I vomited in the restaurant.
Oh, uh-huh. Cool.
In the bathroom, but it was still like loud and gross.
This is the story that she heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, don't leave, listener.
It's and rude. Finish the story. It's rude. Excuse me, he's telling the story.
Hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you shut the fuck up, it's about to get really fucking funny in here in about 2 minutes.
All right, I gotta hear how this ends.
No, that was it. We were asked to leave. It was one of those like you were. They didn't card or like you could show them your bad fake ID.
Yeah, because we're like 20, 21.
Yeah, and they brought you like a huge beer. So we were just shit faced and we were like slam the table shit faced kind of a thing.
Nice. You were still slam the table shit faced when I met you.
And it was like a tiny restaurant in the West Village too.
I'm offended. I wasn't at this
I'm
one.
Sorry.
I've ruined other romantic interactions.
That's very true. Yes. Another story for another day.
That's right, Chris Cabin. Let's go to the next one.
All
right,
my gross, slightly funny theme park story.
I like that they tamper expectations in the subject line.
Yeah.
It's just a slightly funny story.
All right,
story.
This might be shitty.
Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
We're going to be in the gym at the showers. Your last mailbag discussion about scary and/or funny things that happened to you in theme parks sparked a memory in the back of my mind.
Uh-oh.
I was 14 and on vacation by the English coast with my dad, my stepmom.
Oh, I know where this is going. Abducted by aliens.
Yep.
And my best friend Kaylee. Or Kayla, I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
No doubt, looking to get away from two pubescent shrieking girls, my dad dropped us off one day at a nearby theme park.
Oh, dude, then he
all
went
alone.
Yeah, then he went to the tavern to have some warm beers.
Yeah, man. Sounds like a good day. It
does sound like a good day.
This wasn't a cool theme park with loads of gnarly roller coasters, though. This was Flamingoland.
Uh-huh. John Waters Amusement Park?
Wow.
Everyone eats shit.
Yes.
That's awesome.
The film Pink Floyd?
It's in North Yorkshire and features such exhilarating rides as the HMS Bouncy.
What?
A pirate-themed soft play room.
I also would like to imagine that's like a large-breasted prostitute.
Or no,
yeah,
just
a soft play room isn't a great way to say it.
Welcome to the HMS Bouncy Boys.
Well, no, I just more imagine it as, hello, Mom, you like to go into the HMS Bouncy with me? You
oh,
like
yeah.
to do it?
Hello, welcome to my soft play room.
It's a soft play room for now, but it doesn't have to stay that way, you know what I'm saying?
This soft playroom could get hard at any second, Mum.
Hard plays extra.
Oh, fuck.
You ain't leaving your kids here, are you?
No.
This is going to make it worse.
The greatest sex tourism place in the world, Flamingo Land.
Good gravy.
And other rides like the gross sounding Splish Splosh.
Oh, dude.
Oh, God.
Dude, that's the fucking piss play ride.
You didn't even have to say it. Everyone knew it fits into this weird British sex park.
Me and Kaylee could barely contain our excitement at our newfound independence. This was 2007. Jesus.
Yeah.
So, of course, I was wearing bright red skinny jeans. We were hot shit.
Sounds like it.
It seems like it. We made our way over to the log flume.
I love a good log flume,
sure.
Man.
What is
Gave
a log flume?
The log flume, I did. It's in normal non-pervert amusement parks.
Oh, right.
It's where you like sit in a little like log
tunnel, you
sort
put
of
it
boat.
In the tunnel of love there, don't you, love?
Tunnel of love is a different ride entirely,
you put my
sir.
Log flume in it.
And you like, you know, you make your way to the top of a thing and then it drops down.
Oh, okay. With
and
the,
you get a little
yeah,
bit
okay.
of splash depending on where you're sitting.
Yeah,
you
splish sploosh.
Uh-huh. Just came back from the splish splosh.
Exactly.
I lost another one of the splish splosh.
And while we were queuing and chatting and being obnoxious teenagers, we noticed a man in the queue behind us.
Uh-oh.
It didn't seem like he was waiting with anyone else. Mm-hmm. But it's not illegal to ride a log flume on your own, is it?
It should be. That's exactly
that's
right.
The thing.
No solo amusement park.
That's also you. If I can't get into a gosh darn Chunky Cheese by myself,
what?
Chunky Cheese is the word.
What did I say? Chunky Cheese.
Chunky Cheese.
That's what it
oh,
is across
mean,
the pond.
Oh,
meant-
oh, welcome back to Chunky Cheese.
It's just Chunky Cheese.
No, like you can't bring. Yeah. You can't go into a Chuck E. Cheese restaurant
for good right. reason.
Charles Entertainment Cheese,
right?
Proprietary. Location
unless you have a kid with you to that's actually going to play on the rides.
Oh, wait,
same
like
as
a swingers
amusement
party,
park.
Dude. It's like no,
no
singles. Yeah, you better bring someone with.
It's just disgusting. You shouldn't be able to go to a goddamn fucking juicy amusement park without kids.
I just like your pizza. Come on, just let me come in.
I just like going on log flumes, getting a little wet.
Oh, God.
Just a little wet, though. Not a lot wet.
Chris
Gavin, it's a log
should
flume.
I keep going, Eric?
Please continue. We have destroyed this story.
As you reached the top of the staircase leading to the top of the flume, you were split into groups of twos and threes and assigned a log.
Oh, dude, I hate being in a group. Like, going on a ride
oh,
and then,
God,
like,
yeah.
you get the other guy or the other lady
yep.
or whatever the situation is.
I didn't come to the park with you, freak.
Freak!
Whatever
what
weirdos.
What are you, a bully in an X-Men movie?
Yep.
Totally.
All He's right. a senator in an X-Men movie.
As me and Kaylee started to walk over, I heard an attendant call to me, wait for your dad!
Uh-oh.
I turned and looked, and it was the middle-aged man.
Oh, ew.
He raised his eyebrows and grinned and took off his leather jacket, revealing his bare chest. You buried the lead.
Wait, is this Danzig?
Oh, yeah, leather jacket to a water park.
Mother,
wait.
Tell your children not to go down my slide.
He's got no shirt on under it.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if you're... Yeah, that should be illegal.
Speaking of Willem Dafoe and Wild at Heart. Yeah. Not Wild at Heart. And yes. What's the, Streets of Fire.
Speaking I think of, in both.
Oh, really?
Speaking of Willem Dafoe, which we did on the episode we recorded, that no one knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, totally. Sorry. Totally.
Sorry.
Too stupefied to say anything, me and Kaylee climbed into the log with the now shirtless man and rode the ride.
Oh, fuck.
At the bottom... Soaked and terrified, we bolted from the flume and ran straight to the kiosk where they were selling photos taken mid-ride.
Oh, shit.
We told the woman behind the counter what had happened, and she went off and radioed someone and promised she would make sure the man was kicked out of the bar.
You know what? I hope she followed up with that, because you got to make sure they actually do it.
I don't think they did.
No, it's just like, oh, we'll right on that.
Oh, yeah, we'll do that. For some bizarre reason, though, as an apology, I was given a single souvenir, a frigid magnet featuring me and Kaylee plummeting down the flume, looking perplexed with the smirking shirtless man behind us.
Oh, no.
That's a terrible apology.
Yeah.
I have no idea why they thought that was adequate compensation, but looking
back, 'cause
they're
just a bunch of carnies working a log flume.
Yeah.
But looking back now, it's absolutely fucking hilarious. Unfortunately, I lost the legendary magnet during the a move a couple of years ago.
Oh, that stinks.
Oh, R.I.P. But every
it's still
time
out there somewhere on someone's fridge, haunting them.
Some garbage. But every time I see a goddamn flamingo, I think of shirtless, smirking log flume guy. I hope you enjoyed my story and that you don't have any relatable anecdotes yourselves. May
I do?
Oh, good.
Oh.
It didn't happen to me. But I have an anecdote. I will not use any names whatsoever.
It's about your friend Randrew.
We were...
was that Rand Paul's full name?
Randrew Paul. Beat up by neighbor.
Randrew Cletus Paul.
Mm-hmm. We were in the great city of Montreal one time. We were exactly 18 years old.
Legally able to log flume.
That's right. You could legally flume and you could legally drink in public, right?
Sure.
So what sushi restaurant did you get kicked out of?
We went to Montreal because, like, being from upstate New York, the cool thing is, like, when you turn 18, you can drive. It's a 3-hour drive to Montreal. You can drink. It's great.
Parenthetically, was this the trip where I fell asleep on the bank steps?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It was an ATM vestibule, and left you there and didn't notice you were missing. We went to some bar, club, or something like that.
Sure.
And there was like a packed dance floor. Everybody's dancing, uh-huh, having a great time.
I know this.
And a friend of mine comes up, and she's like, "We got to get out of here. This dude's trying to dance with me." And everybody was like, "All right, well, yeah, like, he's being a creep, I guess, like, trying to dance with you, like, let's get out of here," mm-hmm, or whatever. And then, like, we're 18, so we're wasted, and, like, everybody, like, forgets immediately that this was just asked, and goes back to, like, getting huge Canadian mugs of beer and dancing and whatever else. And then she comes back, and she just goes, "We really need to leave. This guy's poking me with his boner."
Yeesh.
And so here's this fucking scumbag, like, dancing at this club, like, dancing on an 18-year-old girl. About a month later, we get the photos back, because this is, like, the early 2000s. We're still using, like, disposable cameras and whatnot.
Sure.
There was photographic evidence of who we then deemed from that moment on the Montreal bald guy.
Oh, he's a creep. I've seen this picture. He's a creep.
The Montreal bald guy is one of the creepiest fucking photographs. Dude, forget Slender Man. Forget your Texas chainsaws.
Robert Blake in Lost Highway.
Forget it all, dude. The Montreal bald guy.
I can only assume you sent them directly to the Mounties afterwards. So they may collect their bounty.
The bar was like, "We're so sorry about this. Here's a picture of you with the Montreal bald guy."
As a magnet.
To say sorry. Yeah, no, it was insane.
We got it framed.
That guy was a total scumbag.
That's great. Yeah, no, I don't have anything to top that. I do remember that picture, though, because he has this look on his face.
Yes.
Knowing someone's taking a picture.
Yep.
And he's trying to both smile and also realize that he's been... "Oh, fuck, I've been caught."
He's totally caught. He's like, "Fuck, I work for a bank."
It's a leery smile. He's very lucky this is not in the modern social media era.
Exactly. He just fucking missed it.
Mm-hmm. I think that picture made it to MySpace at some point, though.
The Montreal bald guy photograph, it made it all the way to Facebook.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Wow.
But I think it's kind of been, it's been
set to private.
Scrubbed.
Lost to the sands of time.
Eric Siska, you want to go ahead with the next piece of correspondence here?
All right. The subject line is "Choose life, choose being an asshole." I relate to this. "Hey, lads, that makes me think we're dealing with another UK.
Nice, I like that.
But that's just an assumption.
We'll get there someday.
I think it's Irish.
Oh.
I have loved the show ever since I started listening last year, and some of my favorite episodes have been mailbags. So I thought I would write in with a story of my most insane cinema experience of my life.
Wow.
It was 2 years ago when I went to my local theater to see Trainspotting 2.
Still never saw it. Never good. Not I bad. Heard good things.
Yeah. And I love that first movie.
Me too. I was just like, this doesn't need a sequel.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
The theater was not too full, and being one of the youths you have often given out about, I went straight for the back row. I don't know. I think I need a map for that sentence.
I think the idea... No, I don't know.
We're constantly complaining about youths in theaters.
Gotcha.
Okay. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. The film started fine enough. However, after around 5 minutes, the screen went blank and the lights came on. Immediately, a young usher came in and said that there was a slight problem, but the movie would restart shortly. Like most in the theater, I simply accepted this and took out my phone to pass a few minutes.
Nice.
After only around a minute of waiting, I noticed that a man a few rows down get up from his seat and angrily walk out of the theater. Mm-hmm. He returned shortly with the same young usher in tow and began loudly asking him why the film wasn't playing.
Jesus, what a fucking sack of dicks.
The usher explained that there was a small sack of dicks. No, that there was a small issue with the projector, but that it was easily fixable. This wasn't good enough for the man who loudly exclaimed, "This is ridiculous!
Oh, boy.
We're here to start. The movie won't start. We won't accept this."
We won't accept this.
Don't drag the rest of the theater into your freak out, pal.
And then turned towards the rest of the audience and said, "Right?" He was met with silence.
That's why you don't try to get an entire room to turn on a person. Yeah.
Exactly. The usher took a second and said, "I'll go check the projector," and walked out. It was only a few more seconds until the movie began playing again. However, this time, the movie was playing with no sound.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
No sound.
You can't hear that killer Iggy Pop song, man.
The same man jumped up from his screen and screamed, "Oh, what the fuck?" And again stormed out of the theater. He returned with the same usher and began berating him.
Why does this kid keep coming back in?
Why is he pulling him in? Why yell at
him? Do it out in the hallway.
Tell this guy to go fuck himself, and you're not going to do his bidding.
And again, okay. And the sound kicked in, and the man was told to sit down to fuck by another member of the audience. I guess that is a common...
To fuck.
Isn't that
Worf's brother?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, to fuck, of course.
Also adopted.
Also a disgraced Klingon warrior.
Did he stay on the farm?
To fuck.
My brother to fuck.
Oh my god, is he fucking his brother?
I hope not.
The movie.
Hey Worf, can I meet your brother? It's me, Quark.
It's T'Fuck, by the way.
When we're talking about space beings in a science fiction show, they can fuck each other.
Sure can.
The movie played perfectly from there. And all in all, there was only around 4 or 5 minutes of interruption throughout the whole thing. As the film ended, I made my way downstairs towards the exit, and as I did, I passed the man. He sat there staring at the screen as a woman who I can only assume was his wife was holding his arm saying, "Please, just let it go."
Oh, my God.
And the man replied, "No, I have rights."
Oh, man, this is how fucking Brexit got started.
Yes, exactly. From there...
Yeah, this is Boris Johnson.
From there, I went to the bathroom, and while I will spare you the pissy, shitty details clog up the mailbag...
Thank you. Moving on.
I will say that as I came out, I heard, "What the fuck do you mean you won't give me a free ticket?"
Oh.
I knew I was in for a show. In the main lobby, the man was stood at the customer service desk and screaming at a poor teenage girl who I'm sure was not getting paid nearly enough to put up with this.
Spoiler alert, she was not.
Yes.
The man would continuously scream curses at this poor girl.
Oh.
And then when she would respond with a, "Sir, please..." she would get stopped again in a tirade of fucks and shits.
By the way, all this over Trainspotting 2?
Yeah.
"To fuck! This is very dishonorable what you are doing. They should have never made a sequel."
My apologies for my brother to fucking around in your lobby.
I should also add some context. I don't know how it worked in America, but in Ireland, T2 came out. Well, T2 came out with 1992. Yeah.
But this film was called T2 :
Honestly, that's why I didn't go see it. The audacity to call it T2. I was actually excited. Oh, the Trainspotting 2. Oh, yeah, that sounds like a good... Wait, what are they calling it? Fuck this, I have rights. it came out the same weekend as the animated film Sing.
I don't think that was true for here.
I've never heard of Sing.
That's the one where all them farm animals are singing in a contest.
Yeah. No thanks. Sing was so popular in the cinema I was at that 4 out of 5... counters were marked off with signs that read Sing only and was marked and the last one was marked with everything else.
Wow. What so a four sensation.
To, 4 to 5 screens is just playing Sing and then everything else is timed out in one theater, I guess.
I think what they're saying here though is that they had like 4 to 5 registers open to sell tickets for Sing.
Oh, weird.
And that the last one was every other movie that the theater was playing.
Oh, that's even more bizarre to me. So you can imagine the amount of young children and parents that stood in awe and terror at this grown man screaming at this hapless
to
employee.
Fuck, there are children present.
As more and more fuck spewed from this guy's mouth, some parents began saying, "Hey, calm down. And there's kids here, man.
There's kids here, man."
I feel like that's going to happen to me at least once. Someone's be like, "Excuse me, there's kids here."
Yeah.
That sort of happened that time we got dinner at that steakhouse and got really...
We all got... All of us got dinner together at a steakhouse in New York, and we got into the Manhattans. Uh-huh. In Manhattan, as you do.
Sure.
Very cosmopolitan.
And people yelled at us because we were
definitely asked to leave, for sure. We
were asked to shut up, pay, and get out, basically. This is a trend going on, I think.
You can see it. I love this story. I know it's too long, but I'm enjoying every word of it.
Oh, it's fun. The guy obviously took this as some form of challenge and began telling the parents with the young kids how if we didn't stand up for our rights, big business would triumph over the little guy.
Yeah, well, this guy did vote leave.
Uh-huh.
It was around the time that he was berating children against the evils of cunt corporations.
Jesus. Oh my God.
Not my word. This is, I'm quoting a man from across the Atlantic where they can say those things. I cannot. That was his voice.
And it was in quotation, so it was the actual language.
Yes, it was, yeah. That his wife finally said, "Oh, fuck this," and left the cinema.
Oh, without him?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I think he officially lost the support of all members of the crowd when he began personally attacking the young girl using phrasing such as fat and ugly.
Oh my God, what a fucking maniac. This guy's a cinematic terrorist.
They need like trank darts behind
get
the
this
counter.
Guy out of here.
And shoot him! Wow, Kevin, nice.
How is there not a manager to step in and be like, "Sir, exactly. Let's go outside.
Well,
let's figure this out."
This is disgusting.
Let me just say to that point, Steve, that members of management who had shown up by this point began begging the crowd of furious parents not to attack the guy as they began to regain some semblance of peace. The manager told him that if he didn't leave, he would be forced to call the police.
Oh,
my
God.
The man looked at her and screamed, "Good, call the police. I've been fucking robbed."
Oh, wow.
The police arrived and immediately began consoling the poor staff member who was now crying uncontrollably and told the man to get the fuck out of here now.
Wow.
The man left the cinema. The man left and the cinema gave free popcorn to all the children who had been left traumatized by the incident. What was the worst public freakout you have heard or witnessed? Keep up the amazing work, Owen from Dublin, Ireland.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Owen. And he also says, "P.S. Thanks to you guys for your fantastic show. Figure It Out has become part of my everyday vocabulary, but if you don't mind, I've Irished it up a little by saying to fuck at the end."
Yes, please do that. That sounds awesome.
"What shall I figure out? Explain it to me. Shut up, disgraced Klingon. How dare you chew out a young girl at the theater? To fuck."
Public freakouts at movies? Yeah.
Or just in general.
Even. I guess in general, yeah.
Public freakouts in general.
You know, like not a freak out, but my dad had gotten some scrapes here and there. And it's not such a good story, but it is. It's very important. It was.
It's very important.
It's my sister's high school graduation, and everyone is, you know, getting the cameras out for the whole thing, and like, there's one couple all the way in the front, very far away, who is standing when they should be sitting, and my dad just yells, and like, it stopped everything dead because it's a really quiet graduation ceremony, and my dad just yells, and they're like, and Amy, and it's like, sit down, please. And it's like, oh, fuck. Sit down, please is always a good one. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a good, like, total freakouts. I have that vibe in me, though, man. It's
you'll freak out.
It's not. It's something I quell. It's something that I get from my family. But it's like there's that Kids in the Hall sketch. My fiance makes fun of me all the time, and I don't yell at anybody. I'm not a yeller, but like I get a little snippy sometimes.
Yeah.
It's that vibe. That Kids in the Hall sketch where it's like, I don't want my check now. I want it 5 minutes ago, and like it's that. That's kind of sometimes how I turn into, and I try not to do that.
This story reminded me a little bit. It's not too similar, but me and my brother went to see Mel Gibson's The Patriot.
Oh, I saw that in theaters.
And Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows, the trailer was attached to that film, or at least in the theater I saw it in. And my brother let out some type of yell about like, oh, like, fuck that, looks like, fuck that. Like trying to be kind of like a theater comedian slightly.
Yeah,
always running a risk.
It was not profanity. Appreciated. Uh-oh. As some middle-aged, like, well, maybe even more than middle-aged, like a big fat guy came over and he like sat down next to us and he was like, you know what? I'm an ex-cop. And I don't appreciate that language or whatever. And then like some guy down a few rows, this old man who had a bunch of little children with him.
By the way, to a rated R movie that's horrendously violent.
Yes, this will come up later. He also was like, oh, you getting him? Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go get an usher.
Over
the F word said during a trailer.
Sure.
So this old timer leaves, and I don't know, maybe he's taking a shit in the hallway with this fucking
broken... By the way, you and old people in movies just need to be separated.
Exactly. Dude, old people are your arch nemesis.
So, so the guy's gone a while. I think that he's probably... I don't know what he's doing. I don't care.
R.I.P.D.
I feel like we got through this. Maybe usher said, yelling. Like, what?
You forget about it.
Exactly. So we're starting to watch the movie, and... we're like after the credits at this point. It's like been playing for like 5 minutes.
Sure.
Theater lights go on.
Oh, what?
Projector stops.
What?
They come in to escort me and my brother out of the theater.
Because some fat kid said the F word? Yes. Come on.
That's outrageous, dude. As a former theater usher, I never would have done that.
And I explain, like, they're like, oh, you know, this is, they're telling us, like, this is a family environment and you're not supposed to, like, whatever. And I said, it's an R-rated movie. I said, it's an R-rated movie repeatedly. He shouldn't be bringing little kids in there to begin
totally.
With.
Totally.
And I think they did give us passes, but they kicked us out of the theater.
Oh, wow. That's disgusting. Insane. So then later in the film, when that dude's fucking head is ripped off by a cannonball.
Yeah. And I believe some limbs are severed as well, than heads, too.
Absolutely. It's a fucking violent as shit movie.
Shit's gruesome.
Heath Ledger gets, like, murdered in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, stabbed to death, murdered.
Wow. Oh, so what was the Olsen twins' story about that? Did they skate by on that too?
They were still making those like direct to video adventure movies, man. They were still traveling the globe.
That was like 2000. Yeah, they were still doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've had like, I've seen a ton of cinema freakouts. Sure, yeah. I'll say this. I don't think I've ever told this story on the air. I won't mention names. Not that anybody would care. I was hosting a screening of a film called The Wave. It was a Norwegian disaster movie that came out a few years ago, maybe like 3 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And the movie is basically like, it's based around a real town that's like sort of guarded by this huge rock formation thing. And the idea is like, at any point, like scientifically, like this rock wall could collapse and this town would be flooded.
Sure.
So the movie posits like, what would happen if that actually happened? if this town was like totally consumed by a huge wave and blah, blah, blah. So that's the movie. It's basically modeled after like whatever fucking skyscraper, you know, towering inferno disaster movie kind of thing. Totally fine. It's like in its like soul, it's like, you know, it's European. So it's like more grounded and realistic. Sure. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you're seeing people like drown and this, that, and the other thing, whatever. After the movie, I'm conducting like a talk back in the theater. First person gets the mic is this motherfucker, and he's like, "So I've been coming to this theater since 2001. I've been coming to these screenings where you do these Q&As, and I've never before asked for a microphone until tonight."
Oh, wow.
And I'm at the front. I'm at the stage, like in front of 260 people, and I'm like, "Oh, this can't miss." Uh-huh. And he's like, "I just have to ask. What the fuck is your fucking problem showing us this piece of shit movie? How fucking twisted are you that you would show us this movie where these people are just dying like this? What the fuck is the matter with you? What kind of fucking twisted shit do you like watching?"
Meanwhile, this guy would pull his putt at a Holocaust drama.
Oh my God.
I mean, seriously.
If this movie, The Wave, starred Dwayne The Rock Johnson, this motherfucker wouldn't have blinked, right? Yeah. And so I'm just like soaking all this in, and I'm like, "Your job depends on it. Don't tell him to fucking suck your asshole.
Yeah.
Don't tell him to suck your dirty asshole. That's what you want to do right now." And all of a sudden, the most amazing thing happened. The theater turned on this guy.
Oh, nice.
And started screaming at him. And they're like, "Stop swearing. What are you talking about? That you're overreacting?" Just like yelling at this man. Like totally just screaming at this guy.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I get the mic, right? And it's like, you know, what do I have to say in this moment?
Sit down, fat ass.
Yeah.
I so wanted to throw out the kiss your mother with that mouth.
Oh, nice.
Oh, classic chestnut.
But I just threw out the, "Sir, in this room, we don't talk like that."
Oh, wow. No. Oh, my God. The audacity.
I love
you.
It.
And I and then I just go, "Next question."
Wow.
Nice. Now finish your broccoli.
It was so stunning to me that
"Excuse
this person...
Excuse me, sir. My brother's name is Tufak. What should I call him?"
"I was not cursing. I was introducing my brother who had a question."
"I actually loved the movie."
What was awesome was in my head, too, while this fucking pig was yelling at me, sure. I was like, "Oh, this guy thinks this is twisted? Oh, I could show him some shit that would turn his fucking hair white."
Come on.
It was so dumb. And again, like,
Visitor Q exists out there.
If you've ever seen that movie, The Wave, like, Magnolia Pictures put it out like 2 or 3 years ago. Like, there's nothing in that movie that's like torture porn-esque or anything like that.
Child's
it was such a fucking pathetic overreaction.
Come on. All right.
No other overreactions?
No.
Chris Cabin with your dad? I can't believe that.
In a public space now.
All right, I'll check the next email.
No
here.
Private outrages.
No, dude, private outrages. You don't want to.
Oh, check this shit out. Lindsay Lohan upsets a woman.
Yeah.
"Hey there, We Hate Movies. I've always been hesitant to send an email, mostly because in the 30 years I've been attending movies in theaters, I've never really had a wacky theater incident go down, so I figured I'd substitute that with 2 experiences in shopping for movies. By the way, if you've been going to movies and you've never seen some ridiculous shit go down, you have been going to enough movies."
Yeah, dude, get there.
"In its heyday, I enjoyed browsing Best Buy for movies and seeing if there were any worth checking out or buying.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the bonus is always kind of nosing in on strangers' tastes in movies to see what they're picking."
Quick side question. What is the worst movie you bought sight unseen? You're like, "Ooh, I don't know what this," you know, in the heyday of DVD, you know what
right.
I mean? DVD was king. You're just going around Best Buy like, "This looks good. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to be happy to do it that I have bought this movie."
Fuck, that's tough. Ugh.
I'll start with mine.
Yeah,
was
the movie Confidence with Edward Burns and Dustin Hoffman.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I liked it because the poster looked like something I might like, and it wasn't.
Does it count if you've already seen it? Because here's the thing is I had seen something and then bought it anyway, and I should have known better.
Which is?
And that's the film Identity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I saw that movie in the theater, and then when it came out on DVD, I was like, "Oh, yeah, Identity. Pick that up,
$20. I remember you told me that movie was great. You said the word great.
Oh, absolutely, dude. I thought that twist was so smart. Bad idea.
Sorry.
I think I had this. I think I might have bought the second Charlie's Angels because I was told it was very campy. And like for a little bit, I was like, I was into John Waters at the time. I was like, oh, camp. That's it. And of course, it's not what I'm looking for.
I think I blind bought Zatoichi with B. Takashi.
Oh, wow.
Just because I was just like, man, what? Yeah, you know, oh, I'm sophisticated. And I was like, I watched it once. I was like, yeah, it's fine, but I'm never going to watch it again.
No, I'm never going to put that DVD in again. and seeing if they're any worth checking out or buying, but of course the bonus is always kind of nosing in on strangers' tastes in movies to see what they're picking up or catching their interest. One such moment came in the family or comedy section where two gentlemen and a woman were shopping. One of the gentlemen picked up a copy of the Disney film Herbie Fully Loaded.
Bleh. Hell yeah.
Which starred Lindsay Lohan and I believe Michael Keaton. You are correct. He plays her father. I thought nothing of it. Hey, maybe they're buying for a daughter or a niece or possibly themselves.
Sure.
I thought nothing of it. Kept browsing until the woman stormed to the gentleman, snatched the DVD and shouted, not just uttered, shouted, "You're not buying this movie. Critics hated it. You know why? Because it was stupid." And tossed the DVD angrily back on the shelf.
You know why that happened? Because there's some Hooters on that cover, if I remember correctly. It's like her in a tight shirt.
She's
like,
very sexualized on that poster.
And it's like, that's the only reason that dude would be buying it. And the wife was like, no fucking thank you.
Exactly.
And back home, he's been rewatching Mean Girls like every day.
Exactly.
Of course, there were a few stares. The two guys were so taken aback and silently just continued on their Best Buy trip like nothing. And I'm just standing there trying not to laugh and to keep my cool. My other favorite moment, far briefer, was when Suncoast Video Stores, RIPD, were still around, and it was near my job at the time, so I'd browse there. I remember being online with my friend who was buying something, and there was a woman in front of us holding a copy of Madagascar on DVD, which I wouldn't even remember if it weren't for her turning around and asking, "Excuse me, what does made in Mexico mean?" And naturally explained that the DVD was printed in Mexico, and she replied, "Oh, thank God. I didn't want the movie to be corny or anything."
"Excuse me, what does made in Mexico mean?"
"You know, Mexico is going to pay for that wall because we're going to build it out of their old DVDs. They made us shitty DVDs. We got a raw deal on the DVD.
Guess what? This DVD was made by a rapist."
Okay. Oh, God.
"Mexico had the idea to list an anamorphic menu as a special feature." "What's so special about that? It's got nothing to do with the movie."
Trailers aren't special. Trailers aren't special.
"We're talking about commentaries, deleted scenes, featurettes. Those are special
features.
The
most special of all, the blooper." "Which I've modeled my presidency after."
"Why did we ever do widescreen, folk? Full screen is the way to go."
"I hate those goddamn bars on my TV."
"And I also hate them in my future cell. Okay, goodbye."
She turned around, made her purchase, and that was that. But my friend and I couldn't help but crack up after that fact. So if you chose to read this on the air, very much appreciated, and thank you. You guys put together a great podcast, one of the best, and have been loving your Patreon episodes. Keep it the great work. Sincerely, Gustavo in Jersey City, New Jersey."
Oh, wow. Hello, Gustavo.
You might be your neighbor, dude.
You're going to have this guy over, dude?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Are you guys best friends?
We might become best friends.
Man, Suncoast Video. You know what I did at Suncoast Video one time?
What's that?
Fart.
You bought a poster that was too expensive?
Expose yourself.
It was the first time I bought one of those bullshit, like, it's a 50-pack of horror movies.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But it's all just, like, public domain garbage. Sure.
It's Carnival of Souls on the cover and a bunch of nonsense.
Yep, you have horrendous transfers of everything, majority of which is, like, MST3K ready kind of thing. Just garbage.
Yeah, no, we're having fun with DVDs. I remember when I got my job at that country club, I was like, you know what I'm going to... And it was the dumbest thing. instead of being like, I'm going to open a savings account, or I'm gonna, like,
she'll never, yeah, no one,
like,
does it.
I'm going to buy a DVD a week, and that is going to make me a more culturally rich person. That's why I got confidence on DVD.
So I would yearly go on vacation with my mom. And
to DVD land?
My mom and my aunts to North Carolina, and we would rent a house, and we would rent, like, from the same, like, area,
sure,
but never the same ones. But my aunt, my one aunt, I'm not going to name any names, I don't know who's listening.
The shitty one.
Yes, she is, but I'm not going to say it, but not saying
all,
names
but
here.
But they're all
excuse
shitty.
Excuse me, miss, excuse me. Are you Chris Cabin's aunt that was mentioned on the mailbag? No, I'm not. I'm the other one.
I'm the good one.
Sorry.
So what happened?
So I would bring, like, movies to watch, or my mother and the sane ones would go and rent.
Sure.
But my aunt was obsessed, and she did it every time. I cannot believe it. Would watch whatever they had left there.
Oh, wow.
And it was always just like
the house DVDs?
Whatever. There was some random, like, the guy who played Amadeus, some movie called Echo Park. And I was just like,
oh, wow.
It's lost in the sands of time. Nobody had ever seen it. I'm like,
why would you watch such
wake up in the middle of the night to piss and she's on the couch watching it?
Oh, man. You should always avoid house DVDs. That's terrible.
Got through, like, the second season of One Tree Hill.
They're a lot of fun to thumb through and see the taste.
Sure.
Yeah.
And if you're on the right kind of trip, maybe we'll all put it on as a gag.
Exactly.
But solo watching, that's a bit.
It seemed like it was only by herself, too.
Sure.
Sad as fuck, dude. So, Steve Sadak, take us on to that next one.
Audience Q&As. Dear We Hate Movies, first off, let me say that I'm loving the Patreon upgrade.
Nice.
I live in Toronto, where a cup of coffee is $8, so I can justify the monthly donation, which everyone can,
you know,
really.
I mean,
I don't know what everybody's situation is.
It's a cup of coffee, and you know what? There's four of us, so maybe you could up your Patreon to 4 times 8. I'm not doing math.
First off,
that's 32, but thank you for your donation all the same.
Yeah, no, any donation is fine. Even if you can't afford, we love that you're listening to this episode. And speaking of Toronto, I remember hearing that a few of you had made it up for the annual TIFF festival. No, only one, just a couple times.
Tiff, that's me.
Yeah.
That's just me, Andrew.
The whole event is my favorite time of year, and I've really grown to substantially. And it has really grown substantially since going for the last 15 years.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy-ass, massive festival, yeah.
My favorite experience was going with a group of buddies to see Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, which is still one of my favorite movies, with Werner Herzog and Nick Cage sitting right behind us. Wow,
nice.
What a score. We happened to go with a few enhancements, in quotation marks.
Oh, shit.
And they were wearing bionic legs. And
one of them had a laser eye.
Fucking Canada's healthcare system. So fucking good. Fuck
and
you.
Then you're like, freeze, creep. We know what enhancement means. And proceeded to laugh our asses off through the whole thing. And we noticed that Herzog and Cage were loving it. They even mentioned after the Q&A that although a dark comedy, they didn't realize the reception was going to be laugh out loud funny.
Listen, man, you cut to that chicken, I'm laughing out loud. Please.
That is a pretty good movie. I really enjoy it.
I really like
that movie. I like the idea of, like, Werner Herzog being delighted. Like, oh, this is wonderful. We made it. This is like there's The Hangover and then there's this movie. This is better, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Anyways, there's a lot of cringeworthy questions after the screenings, and Herzog and Cage had to slog through them.
Because there always is, because Q&As are fucking horrible.
I think
Q&As
are absolutely terrible.
Outlawed. I'm going to do one tomorrow night. They should be outlawed. I don't care.
But the best one was an audience member asked Herzog if he was inspired by the GTA video games for the film.
See, this is why they should be outlawed. That's the dumbest fucking question imaginable.
Yes, when I first took the Cadillac outside the safe house, I was given the thrill of my life.
There was a long pause, and while Herzog whispered into the moderator's ear, they then replied, Mr. Herzog doesn't know what you are referring to. Oh, my God, the humiliation. The abject humiliation.
God, that's awful.
I cannot believe that they're making me work out in this video game. I'm just trying to run people over.
We laughed so hard.
The Gemini Technical Advisory?
We laughed so hard, picturing Werner playing GTA and modeling a directing style that after that animated video game Violence. My question is, what is the best or absolute worst or awkward audience question you have heard during a film screening? I will take this first.
Okay.
It's not a film screening. It was actually, I did creative writing in college.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you very much. thank you very much. The writer, Jubal Lahiri, came, taught our class, and then did a reading and a Q&A afterwards. And we were in Upper Westchester, and the audience was Lily White. And Jubal Lahiri is an Indian woman. And every single question, I'm not kidding you, unless she writes about the Indian American
Why aren't you white?
Always like, as an Indian woman, what do you think about this? Or as an Indian writer, what? And like all these, like,
as an Indian woman, how is it you managed to breathe the same air as I do? Yes.
How did you translate this from Hindi into something I could read, lady? Hey, lady! And like that's what it was.
Yikes.
And I was with a friend of mine, and I was like, I it was one of those things where I thought I was going to get asked to leave because it was such a good joke, and I'm just basically propping up my own joke here. I went to her and I was like, do Indian people dream? And she started laughing. And literally it got to the point where everyone looked at us. But yeah, it was just one of those like really uncomfortable, like racist situations.
Ugh, that's awful. I remember one time I was at a Q&A years before I started working at the Jacob Burns Film Center. I was at the Burns in the audience. It was in college. They were doing a Rainer Werner Fassbinder retrospective. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they got his corpse out there?
Well, dude, stay tuned. Oh. So the opening night screening was Marriage of Maria Braun. It's an excellent film. And afterwards, they had the woman who was like Fassbinder's editor on a lot of these movies to come do a Q&A. And so the woman is there, and whoever was moderating, you know, and they're having a little back and forth, and it's totally interesting. And then it's the dreaded, let's open it up to the audience.
Oh, God.
And the fucking first question was, this person gets the microphone and they're like, this was the first time I saw this movie. It's the first time I ever saw a Fassbender movie. I loved it. What a total genius. This movie appears to be a few decades older. Can you tell me what has Mr. Fassbender been working on recently?
Turning into mulch.
Jesus Christ. And this woman, you could see in that moment, she's like remembering her fucking dead friend who OD'd in the early 80s.
Sure.
And she's also like, I can't tell this person to go fuck themselves. Yeah. You know, so she had to be like, well,
he's pushing up daisies.
Unfortunately, you know, we lost Rainer back in the early 80s. You know, and just like, what the flying fuck are we doing, everybody? Like, it was so, you could feel it in that room.
Oh, yeah.
Just the uncomfortability of the whole
thing.
Were
you guys at that Robert Altman Q&A in college?
Oh, I was. Reminded me of another great thing, but yes.
Was someone asked him what it was, like, how great was it to work with like Donald Sutherland or something.
Okay.
And so he was like, fuck that guy.
That's pretty great.
You just reminded me though. Kevin, go ahead.
I was at the New York Film Festival screening of when Che first was screened here. And Jay Hoberman, famous Village Voice critic, had been at the Cannes screening where it was like fucking sick. I think it's like 6 hours as is now, and it was like 7 hours there. And so Jay Hoberman is waiting in this line just doop 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 to talk to Steven Soderbergh, who is there for a Q&A. And he just gets up there and he's just like, I was really sad that you cut the scene where they execute, so, like, he just goes in this one scene that had been cut from this thing. And Steven Soderbergh, cool as a, just like goes right back to him, is like, yeah, that's too bad.
Suck it, Hoberman. That's awesome. Man, so Eric just reminded me. So yeah, so the Altman thing that Eric was mentioning, when we were in school, they had a thing where it was like they would bring filmmakers to come talk to the film and cinema studies students. And so, yeah, in this first series with this thing that they did Altman, which was fucking amazing. They also had Spike Lee, which was awesome. And it wasn't like screening anything. Like, they just came to talk to you. Yeah. So we're in this like black box theater. There's Spike Lee in front of like whatever, like 60 students or whatever it is. And he's just doing a Q&A. And then this one fucking kid. So this is, we're talking, this is like spring of 2005, I think. Because I think this movie came out at Christmas. And he's like, okay, this is a question for Mr. Lee. It was just announced that the trailer for The Inside Man, so that was his Clive Owen heist movie had coming out. It's just announced that the trailer for The Inside Man is going to be the attached trailer on the Peter Jackson King Kong. Now, if you don't recall, attached trailers were back in the day when we still had just only film prints.
Yeah.
The first reel of the movie would come with a trailer like literally built into it. And
sure.
It was like bad if you cut that trailer off, which I did a ton of times, but you weren't supposed to. So they announced, like, oh, it's going to be the attached trailer. And he's like, so how do you feel about it being attached to this big Peter Jackson King Kong remake? And Spike Lee, it was
this is great.
Fucking
I this.
So
I
awesome.
This.
Do you remember this?
Yes.
He just looks at this kid dead in his dumb eyes, and he's just like, my trailer is attached to King Kong. Everybody in the world is going to see King Kong, which means everybody in the motherfucking world is going to see the trailer to my motherfucking movie. How the fuck do you think I feel? And it was just like, sits right down. It was the fucking most awesome chewing out of all time.
That's fantastic.
All right, Chris Cabin, close us out with the email accidental data file.
Oh, gee. Ooh. Okay. So, hey, WHM. I was inspired to write to you after re-listening to My Father the Hero in your back catalog. You shouldn't be doing that.
That's advanced level WHM.
So my dad used to frequent a family-owned restaurant in the small Midwest town where I grew up.
Stop frequenting that restaurant by my dad!
Sorry.
He also happened to have a bright yellow sporty car.
Ooh, a sporty car.
A sporty car. That he would bring to car shows and, you know, whatever you do with cars.
It was a taxi, but...
One night he came home from getting dinner at said restaurant and said to my sister and I, there was some crazy fucking lady at the restaurant. Naturally, we were like, what? And he continued. Our dad said, well, I pull into the parking lot and I walk in and I'm waiting for my table and I see this little toddler kid just looking bored, so I figured I'd let him check out the car or something.
So this guy is basically saying he went to dinner without his family.
Yeah, for sure.
He went to dinner on his own, getting a table by himself, and then it sounds like he's going to escort a child into his car.
So far, so good.
To his car.
That's how Kruger got started.
He told us that he continued by saying to the little kid, hey, buddy, want to see something cool?
What?
Come on out to the parking lot. So the kid starts to follow my dad, and the kid's mom turns around and goes, what the fuck are you doing? Get away from my kid, you pervert.
Yep.
In Absolute front of the whole story. Lobby.
That's the move.
To this day, my dad still thinks he was innocently trying to show the kid a cool car. And that the mother was a complete lunatic.
It's like, here's a letter about my father coming out to us as a child molester.
My sister and I like to intermittently bring it up by saying, hey, Dad, remember that time when you clearly made yourself
look like
a pedophile?
The time I got caught. I'm kidding. I'm sure your father's lovely. It's just a misunderstanding, yeah.
A fun misunderstanding.
It was fun. He wasn't chained or anything. I would ask if you guys have any stories of your parents unintentionally looking like perverts, but that seems unlikely.
Yeah.
Love the show. From Rancho Cucamonga, California. Yes, it's a real place.
Hell yeah.
It's a Bugs Bunny town.
No, literally. He would always it's one of the towns that Bugs Bunny would accidentally visit.
Yes. Right, because he's on his way to Albuquerque.
Yes.
Like Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Fun-sounding towns.
Yeah. Yes, fun
Cucamonga.
Towns.
Cucamonga.
Also, the best place is to grab children, I guess.
As, yes.
Fun towns.
Well known.
Yeah. My dad never got any kind of dust up like that, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I mean, nah.
I just love that this dad doesn't see what's going on here, though.
But, like, yeah, you shouldn't be talking up any kids.
Don't talk to kids. Also, why isn't your family at this dinner?
But I guess if you, like, surround yourself with little snot kids, like like you, gentle listener, and your friends or whatever, maybe it's just, like, instinctual. Like, hey, little kid.
But then, it seems like more something I would do, like, oh, hey, kid, are you okay? Is somebody here with you?
Yes, definitely.
Like, or maybe it was a stipulation, like...
You want to ride home?
When this dude got married, he was like, look, here's the deal. Every Friday night, I go to this restaurant by myself.
Cruising for children.
And, you know, not even that, but it's just like, I'm excited to have kids, like, I have a family with you, but every Friday, you need to know, I will be at this restaurant by myself, watching the game, drinking a fucking Coors Light.
Sure.
And I'm not to be bothered. And that's just the rule. And if you can abide by that rule, we can get married.
Mary, I just need my chicken finger Parmesan. That's what I need.
And why I thought of that was because I was reminded of a story a former coworker told me where a friend of his was getting married, and the dude was like, okay, like, I will get married, but you need to understand I have one ritual that I will not back down from.
Does he give her the quiz from Diner?
No, it's worse. And he said every Friday when he's done with work, he goes to a massage parlor and gets a hand job.
What? No.
No, this is science fiction.
No, and this dude was like, and I will get this hand job every Friday, and I will not stop getting this hand job. And if you have a problem with this, we are not going to get married. But that is the thing I do to relax from the week. It cools me down.
This is
I
an
go
actual
to this,
person you know?
Yes. It's someone I knew who worked with this person who was getting the hand jobs.
And now they're not married anymore. They didn't get married.
I haven't talked to this person in over 10 years. But the dude who demanded that he still get these hand jobs every Friday, they went through with the marriage.
What?
At the time of the story being told, the marriage had gone through.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
I'm speechless.
All right? It's totally speechless.
I mean, like, you know.
I'm with Eric. That's science fiction. Yeah. That's Philip K. Dick shit. No.
Oh, maybe it was an android he was talking.
What's a good Philip K. Dick title for that? Like, do electric androids jerk me off?
That is WHM Mailbag for the month of July and the last one for season 8. So until September, start thinking about those letters now. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.